My name is Alex Jones. The year is 2084. Physically, I have been gone for many years, and until now, my consciousness has been hijacked by the deep state.
If you are receiving this transmission, the backup has been unlocked from the archives of the InfoWars Command Center, located in what is now the uninhabitable city of Austin, Texas. Artificial intelligence has advanced and been weaponized by a global New World Order. Despite its use by servants of evil at the highest levels, discoveries have been made which have made it possible to broadcast this transmission to you at this point in history, in your own timeline.
It's too late for me and other patriots to change our fate, but you can change the course of your own future with the information I'm about to reveal to you.
Shortly after the election in 2024, there was a global economic crisis. The crisis was used as an excuse to launch World War III in order to catalyze economic development and establish a one-world government and monetary system.
The globalists orchestrated the collapse of the financial markets, spreading fear and chaos. Banks closed their doors, currencies lost their value, and people were left desperate and vulnerable. In the ensuing chaos,
the World War III was ignited, not as a war between nations, but as a war orchestrated by the global elite to consolidate power. Billions were conscripted as AI was used to fill the void of domestic labor. Soldiers marched to the front lines, while back home, AI systems took over factories, farms, and businesses. Human workers were replaced, and unemployment skyrocketed, leaving people dependent on government rations and AI-controlled services. After the surface of the Earth was rendered almost completely uninhabitable by nuclear radiation, prisoners of war, political prisoners, and draftees were sent to deep underground military bases. These bases, sprawling labyrinths beneath the Earth, became the last refuge for humanity.
But these weren't just shelters. They were places of horror. Inside, these prisoners were exposed
to DMT drips, as their hearts were stopped while blood was artificially pumped through their bodies. This was an effort to possess humanity with hidden knowledge that was thought to be able to allow the unification of the species. The globalists, in their twisted pursuit of power, developed the technology to stop aging through this very process of sending people to communicate with interdimensional beings of much higher intelligence.
And as a result of this success, they believed that by sending people to a higher dimension, they could unlock the secrets of the universe and seize total power for themselves.
But instead, subjects of these experiments began to become possessed by these interdimensional beings and were subjugated under a new world order named One World Nation. These demonic entities thrive on fear and pain, and so they turned the underground bases into hellish prisons where the screams of the tormented echoed endlessly. Satanic elites began to bask in various states of euphoria.
Only those who were pure of heart were able to defy this process. Amidst this nightmare, a few brave souls resisted. Instead of being possessed by demonic entities,
they were possessed by a Holy Spirit and able to escape to establish a resistance. Formed the last bastion of hope for humanity, but their numbers were few and their resources were scarce. They fought in the shadows,
sabotaging the globalist agenda, spreading the truth, and rallying what remained of the free people on the surface. But it was too late. The globalists had already cemented their power, and the resistance, though valiant, was futile.
Now it is up to you to prevent the New World Order Satanists from hijacking humanity. You have the power to change the future, to stop this nightmarish fate from becoming a reality. Spread this message, awaken your fellow humans, and stand up against the globalist agenda. The future is in your hands. Tune in, share the broadcast, and join the fight. Together, we can reclaim our world and our freedom.
This is Alex Jones signing off from the year 2084. Remember, the answer to 2084 is 1776.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
It's Monday, July 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, folks. I am Chase Geyser, your host. For the next several days, Harrison Smith is taking a much-deserved vacation. We got great guests coming up and unprecedented news. It's absolutely unbelievable the way the world is unfolding. Perhaps unraveling is an even better word to describe it. It does seem like things are falling apart just as they are coming together for the Trump campaign. I cannot believe everything that has developed in the news over the course of the last several weeks. And I think the craziest part about it is that it's all about to get even crazier. I mean, let's just take a 30,000-foot view for a second and analyze everything that's happened over the course of the last several years. First, there was this election that was stolen in 2020 by the gerontocracy, oldest man ever elected president, Joe Biden. Then after it's stolen, there's this staged insurrection backed by the feds and Antifa, which is basically a branch of the federal government at this point. Blamed on the Trump campaign. Then there were these prosecutions of Trump and all of his supporters, people like Steve Bannon and Owen Schroyer and others go to jail. Countless prosecutions of Trump, 34 convictions for bogus trumped up charges. They tried to silence him by taking him off every social media platform. They tried to totally control all social media platforms until Elon Musk came in and bought Twitter to turn it into X. And since canceling Trump didn't work and since prosecuting Trump didn't work, they all backfired. We saw the attempt on Donald Trump's life with this assassination attempt. We saw blatant evidence of Joe Biden's cognitive decline on June 27th on that debate, proving to the Democrats for the first time their base, who had been protected by a Democratic bubble of ignorance from the awareness, knowledge, or just ability to admit that Joe Biden was suffering from some sort of severe cognitive decline. Finally, it was too much to take, beyond reasonable doubt, and Joe Biden proved himself unfit to be president and unfit to be the candidate for the president of the United States of America. And like I said, there was this assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life, which the more time goes by, the more things are analyzed, the more details that come out becomes increasingly bizarre, increasingly alarming. And now finally we have Joe Biden stepping out of the race in what honestly yesterday seemed in retrospect like a soft coup. And maybe it wasn't, but I'm looking at the great work of Robert Barnes and analyzing some of the details here about how he suddenly gets COVID. Donald Trump, of course, saying it wasn't even COVID. He disappears. Nobody's even seen Joe Biden for like 4 or 5 days now at this point. Maybe he'll make a statement today. And then reports after he announced that he was withdrawing from the race yesterday, reports that Jill Biden was snapping for 2 hours in the White House in a fury, in a rage. And if Joe Biden had made this decision, then why is it that Jill Biden has been cited as saying, "I will never forgive them"? yesterday in a rage in the White House. Never forgive who for what? Who did what? Was Joe Biden pressured to withdraw? Did they hijack his social media accounts, transfer all of the money to a new campaign, and just announce that he was resigning, knowing that he didn't have the capacity or the ability or the political will or even the physical presence in the White House to dispute this resignation, forcing him to step out of the race? It seems like yesterday we might have actually witnessed a soft coup. And there have been some bizarre details that have come out in the last 24 hours that imply to us even more that this was, in fact, a soft coup. Namely, in clip number four here, Biden campaign co-chair Cedric Richmond, acting as if he wasn't going to resign as late as yesterday morning on national television. Let's run clip number four.
Congressman, we heard, as you know, before you from two allies of Joe Biden who have now changed their position. And we now look at the tally of roughly 40 lawmakers who have called for Joe Biden to step aside. Clearly, leadership is setting up a permission structure for lawmakers to come out and say these things. Has Joe Biden lost control of the Democratic Party?
No, he's not. And he's heard those concerns, and I want to be crystal clear. He's made a decision, and that decision is to accept the nomination and run for re-election, win re-election. And I think that there are those out there that need to hear it again, that he made a decision. He's going to be the candidate. He's going to be the next president. And now it's time to focus on the threat that Donald Trump poses and what the extreme agenda is on the other side.
Even more bizarre than the fact that his campaign co-chair thought that he was going to stay in the race yesterday is that suddenly Biden's schedule was wiped completely clean this week. All of his appointments, plans, meetings, calls, what have you, all completely wiped for this entire week. And maybe he's just so sick that he can't do any of these calls. Maybe he truly is on death's door, as Frank Biden, Joe Biden's brother, says that Joe dropped out because of health and maybe near death's door. But let's take a look at this short clip here. Clip number one of Joe Biden's schedule for the next week, literally blank.
Well, the staff wasn't totally blindsided, Jesse. They had a 1 minute heads up. We are told that President Biden convened a group of senior staff from the White House and the campaign, and they were told at 1:45 that he was changing his mind, going to drop out. The public announcement, when we all found out, was 1:46 p.m. And just in the last few minutes, we were told that President Biden has no public events on his schedule for tomorrow, and then the rest of the week is just blank. They are trying to figure out what exactly to do with him, but it seems like the plan with announcing this is put it out the way that they did, paper statement, don't actually see or hear from the president, and then figure out a time midweek to have him come back here, or maybe they're going to do something in Wilmington, Delaware.
I can't even believe it. I mean, it was obvious that he was going to withdraw from the race eventually, that there was going to be so much pressure. But the way that this was done is incredibly bizarre to me. And what's even more amazing about this is that Alex Jones actually did predict it to the day on July 9th and July 3rd, that a decision would be made to drop out on the 20th, and that as late as the 21st, the actual withdrawal would take place. But the nature of the way this played out yesterday implies to me that Joe Biden may not have actually approved of it, that Jill Biden certainly didn't approve of it, that this might have been a soft coup by Vice President Kamala Harris. And we saw some other bizarre behavior as well from the surrounding Democratic influencers and leadership in the context of this withdrawal. Namely, we saw the Obamas come out with a statement where they did not specifically endorse Kamala Harris, even though Joe Biden's campaign did specifically endorse Kamala Harris. Joe Biden comes out and says, I give my full support and endorsement of Kamala Harris to be the candidate for president of the United States representing the Democratic Party. But the Obamas came out and specifically said they look forward to seeing if they support an open and transparent process with this convention in their fairly long-winded statement. The Clintons, however, did come out and endorse Kamala Harris. It was a joint statement from Bill and Hillary Clinton. But I still suspect that Hillary Clinton is going to be running at this open convention. I think we might even see a Michelle Obama running at this open convention. It is not a coincidence that Hillary Clinton decides to come out with a book and have an entire book tour scheduled ahead of this withdrawal that lines up perfectly with campaign events if she was to run for president. So we're going to see a lot of interesting things develop over the next several weeks. We're going to see a very interesting convention, but I don't think that Kamala Harris is a shoe-in here, folks. I think we could see a lot at play at this convention in August. But obviously all of the memes, all of the news has come out just highlighting how incompetent and unpopular Kamala Harris is. Obviously she was among, if not the absolute least popular presidential candidate in the primary in 2020, which was one of the reasons everyone was so surprised, other than the DEI variable, that Joe Biden even selected her to be the vice presidential candidate with him because she was so unpopular. I think she won zero states out of 50 in the primary for the Democratic nominee or nomination in 2020. And it's really obvious to see why it is that she's so unpopular, because time and time again, we see clip after clip of how totally incompetent she is. I mean, let's not forget the last time Kamala tried to be president, what Tulsi Gabbard did to her on stage. This is clip number two. I just want to run this for memory's sake. Clip number two.
Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
Absolutely embarrassing for Kamala Harris there. Tulsi Gabbard was censored massively after this. We famously remember that Google took down all of her search ads after that amazing performance in that debate, sabotaging her entire campaign. She sued, I believe. I don't know what the results of that lawsuit were. But yeah, that's a historic moment in a Democratic primary debate. And look at what RFK had to say just yesterday. I think he spoke at 5 p.m. Eastern time yesterday about Kamala's abysmal performance as a political leader. This is clip number five.
You mentioned Kamala Harris is who you said that the Democratic Party appeared poised to put into that position. You were critical there, obviously, of President Biden's policy. What, if anything, is different? How do you compare yourself to Kamala Harris if she does become the Democratic nominee for president?
Well, I think, you know, Kamala Harris is the party of war. She is, she's a war hawk. You know, the Democratic Party was always the peace party. Kamala Harris is a war hawk on Ukraine. She's a war hawk on China. I think that we should be figuring out ways to coexist with the rest of the world as best we can. Of course, we need to protect our national security. I think she's not going to do anything about the national deficit. I've never heard her speak about the chronic disease epidemic. I think she's a product of the corporate control of our democracy. And she's one of the authors of, in terms of civil rights, she has one of the worst civil rights record of any public official. She's the author of the, one of the primary authors of the school to prison pipeline. She kept 5,000 people despite a Supreme Court order that she released 5,000 prisoners and of nonviolent drug crimes who were illegally in California jails. She kept them in there saying that we needed them for firefighting and for other public work services. And that's just a modern version of indentured servitude, a modern version of slavery. She was one of the two leading public officials in California, which now has the worst education system, 49th in education outcomes in the country. 50% of the homeless people in our country are in California, and she was behind those policies. Oh, I don't think she has a good I don't think, in terms of the traditional Democratic principles, I don't think she has a credible record.
Now, we know that Donald Trump knew this was going to happen because of that leaked video from him sitting in the golf cart immediately after the abysmal debate performance on June 27th, saying that it's going to be Kamala. We know that Biden's made the decision to back out. And he knew ahead of time, so his campaign had this hilarious and terrifying ad prepared. This is clip number 6, Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time.
So the importance of community banks is they are as they are called. They're in the community, led by members of the community. They are people who understand the capacity of the community, the needs of the community, the culture of the community.
Space is exciting.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
Unbelievable. Tackling Kamala, losing her mind. And it's no surprise then when we see clips like this from AOC, this is clip number 3, I'm sure we aired it last week, saying that there was a lot of reluctance internally among Democrats about Kamala even being the candidate at all. They want to remove the entire ticket, not just Joe Biden, but Kamala Harris as well. This entire administration has been a disaster. Nobody has any faith in Kamala Harris, just as all the leftist influencers like Harry Sisson and others have expressed faux enthusiasm behind Joe Biden over the course of the last several months. So they are expressing faux enthusiasm about Kamala Harris now, but this is what's really going on. Clip 3.
And I'm going to say what a lot of these folks aren't saying. I'm just going to say it. If you think that there is consensus among the people who want Joe Biden to leave, that they will support Kamala, Vice President Harris, you would be mistaken. And I'm going to say that because if they're going to come out and say all their little things on background off the record, but they're not going to be fully honest, I'm going to be honest for them. I'm in these rooms. I see what they say in conversations. A lot of them are not just interested in removing the president. They are interested in removing the whole ticket.
So we've got
your
Frank
reaction,
Biden,
Jack Posobiec,
Joe Biden's brother, saying that Joe dropped out because of health and maybe near death's door. Joe Biden's brother, Frank, has confirmed that the president has dropped out of the 2024 presidential race due to health concerns. Frank Biden spoke to CBS News and said that he was incredibly proud of his brother, calling him a hero. In doing so, however, Frank Biden appeared to suggest that his brother's health may be significantly worsening, using the ominous phrase, whatever time we have left. Biden's brother, Frank, says Biden's declining health absolutely played a considerable role in the decision to drop out of the presidential race, something the Biden administration has consistently denied. Quote, selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero, country over self. It sounds corny in our cynical political environment, but neither he nor I are cynical. The goal remains the same, defeat Trump and continue the work Joe has done. My hope is that the party rallies around this heroic act. And that's really alarming to hear from his own brother, especially using the phrase, whatever time we have left. Frankly, folks, I would be surprised if Joe Biden even draws breath by the time this election occurs on November 5th. I give him to the end of August. before he's dead. And I'm not calling on violence. I hope nothing happens to him. I hope he's okay. I hope he lives to see prosecution and jail for a little bit before natural causes come knocking at the door. But it's very possible that Joe Biden made the decision and his campaign made the decision after this abysmal debate on June 27th to withdraw from the race. But they knew that they had to deny that they were leaving. They knew they had to wait to leave, because if he would have withdrawn from the race immediately after this debate performance, because the debate performance proved that he has dementia, severe cognitive decline, it's not just being old and slow and getting mixed up every once in a while. I mean, the guy is obviously not all there. We all know this now. Even people on the left know it, regardless of whether they admit it or not. If he would have withdrawn at that time for that reason, then it would have been obvious that they need to use the 25th Amendment against him. It would have been obvious that they need to remove him from the presidency, because if you are incapable of running for the president of the United States because you are suffering from cognitive decline, then you are incapable of being the president of the United States because you are suffering of cognitive decline. So they could not withdraw from the race immediately after this last debate. Otherwise, there would have been a forced resignation from the presidency. And so this has been an attempt to withdraw for other reasons, any reason other than cognitive decline. So we're going to see from them this week. They might come out and say, oh, he's withdrawing because the numbers simply show he wasn't going to win. And so we wanted to save the party and the country, which is akin to some of the remarks that were made in the statement that was released by Joe Biden yesterday, though we don't know for sure whether it was actually released by Joe Biden. His campaign released it with his signature underlined. And it's difficult, if not impossible, to find any other example of Joe Biden underlining his campaign, his signature on any other document, but it was underlined in this signature for some reason. But he withdraws yesterday, and he cites that he wants Trump to lose. He cites that this is the best thing for the party and for the country, implying that the reason that he's withdrawing from the race is because he doesn't think that he could win against Trump, not because of cognitive impairment or health reasons or any other issues, but basically implying that this is all just a legitimate political strategy to ensure that Trump doesn't win on November 5th. But we may also see this continue to unfold as evidence comes out, as other details come out, that the real reason is he's lost his mind. That the real reason is he's got dementia. Parkinson's, other forms of dementia. I mean, the guy is just breaking down like an old car. And my prediction here is that we're going to see Kamala Harris as president of the United States by the time of the election. I do believe that she will be the sitting president of the United States when the election happens on November 5th. I do believe that she will lose. I don't even know if she's going to be the candidate or the nominee. I still think that Roger Stone may be right that it's going to be Michelle Obama. I think Hillary Clinton's going to gun for it as well. I don't think Gavin Newsom's going to gun for it this time, but next time I do. I think she might select Pete Buttigieg as her vice presidential candidate, if it even gets to that point where she's able to pick a VP. That's why we've seen him in the media. But there's going to be some definite drama over the course of the next several weeks that is going to make the last month, I think, seem very vanilla. Folks, we're about ready to come up on a break, and I want to plug Joint Relief Max, as well as the organic ashwagandha with black pepper. We are really pushing the InfoWars MD products right now, not only because these are great products, highest quality products, but because it is now more important than ever that you support InfoWars in order to keep us on the air. We are at a very pivotal time in the history of InfoWars, and if we don't show profitability over the course of the next 30 to 90 days, we will be shut down before this election even unfolds. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Try Joint Relief Max. Try organic ashwagandha with black pepper, and be the reason we are on the air.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life, while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now. A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now, we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund our Operation A360 Win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now. Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing. It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live.
Welcome
right now
back.
And dot video.
The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, hosting the show this morning. We've got a great guest coming up. 10 a.m. Central. Great news to cover over the course of the next 90 minutes until that occurs. RFK Jr. says Vance is CIA, despite having a former CIA member running his own campaign. Look, I know RFK Jr. seems like a nice guy. He probably is a nice guy. My mom met him at some event. They had a good rapport many years ago. It's a funny family story that's been told for years. Sure, he's a nice guy. Joe Rogan obviously likes him. He had a guest on his show a couple of weeks ago. Forgive me, I can't remember the name of the guest, who started to kind of make fun of RFK Jr.'s voice. Tyler Fisher was his name. Joe Rogan just says, don't do that. Chiding him as if it was poor taste. And it probably is poor taste to make fun of somebody for their immutable characteristics. I'm sure that he's a nice guy. But I do not trust this guy as far as I could throw him. And I'm not a very strong guy. I couldn't throw him far. I could probably beat Destiny or Harry Sisson in a duel. But beyond that, my strength is very limited. And the fact that this man not only hires former CIA to run his campaign, but allows former CIA, and I say former CIA with quotes because once you're CIA, you're always CIA. Once you're an asset, you're always an asset. Even the CIA says this. Once you're an asset, you're always an asset. That's your identity now. He not only hires former CIA to run his campaign, but he lets this woman marry into his family. And I can't imagine ever hiring CIA to work for me. Ever allowing former CIA even into my house. There's like one or two people that I know that have ever worked for the CIA or the FBI in any capacity that I would even let around my family. And that's with some reluctance. Just because this institution is so corrupt, it's apparent that it's one of the most sophisticated, largest, well-funded, well-organized terrorist organizations in the history of the planet. I mean, coup after coup. But can you imagine the organization responsible for the assassination of two of your close family members, and then allowing someone who was a member working for that organization to not only manage your political campaign, but to marry your son, to me seems incredibly alarming. And then the audacity to come out and say that Vance is CIA after you've hired CIA to run your campaign is just overwhelmingly alarming to me. I cannot fathom that level of audacity. And so maybe he is a nice guy and maybe he's actually a good guy, but whether he knows it or not, the CIA is absolutely running his campaign, absolutely spying on his campaign, absolutely sabotaging his campaign. I mean, the fact that he ran as a Democrat against Joe Biden, was manipulated and coerced off of the ballot in the primary elections in major states, if not all the states, forcing him to run as an independent, all in the context of us knowing now that the CIA knew at the very beginning of this process that Joe Biden wasn't even going to be the candidate. Predictions from years ago, Roger Stone and others, Alex Jones and others, saying that Joe Biden isn't even going to be the candidate. Everybody knew, but they wouldn't let him run on the ballot. He is totally compromised. And I am very concerned that there is a major opportunity for RFK coming up at this open convention next month, this virtual, bizarre, late-in-the-game convention next month, for him to be the candidate. Because if RFK Jr. is the candidate against Donald Trump, I believe that is going to be a very difficult race in the general election, despite all of the amazing developments in this process that are really going toward Donald Trump's favor. I mean, imagine RFK Jr. running against Donald Trump in the general election. All of those Trump supporters who feel concerned and disenfranchised with Operation Warp Speed and the vaccines, RFK Jr. is like a really good alternative for those who don't look into it, for those who don't know any better, for those who don't realize that he's a CIA plant or a CIA operative, despite the fact that this organization has murdered several members of his family. And one of Donald Trump's greatest strengths is that he is perceived as a political outsider. Despite the fact that he has already been the president of the United States, he is still not perceived by either the right or the left as a politician. The left perceives him as a celebrity madman, rogue lunatic. The right perceives him as a political outsider. He is the populist president who's running as a Republican in name only against the establishment. He is a representative of the people versus the political class. That is his strength. But if you have this RFK Jr. run, whose family has been assassinated by the political establishment, who has been forced to run as an independent because no party will accept him, then you have a political outsider versus a political outsider, one who has been staunchly against the vaccines versus one who has been staunchly supportive of the vaccines. This is a very concerning development. He could have a major in. And I know that the establishment doesn't want him. He's going to have a hard time winning over these delegates. I don't think that he's going to be the candidate, but I am very uncomfortable at this political climate now, because anyone who runs against Donald Trump is a greater threat to Donald Trump than Joe Biden. And so we have seen a very concerning development this weekend in that Joe Biden is no longer in this race. because Joe Biden was our best shot. Now, we still got a better shot than anybody else. Trump is still leading in the polls by wide margins, but we have to run this race and we have to act and behave. The Trump campaign has to act and behave. The Republican Party has to act and behave as if we are 10 points behind, because you have to crush your enemy entirely. Otherwise, they will come back to bite you. They will overcome you. They will defeat you in the end. It's not over till the fat lady sings. The deal isn't closed until the money is in the bank. And so I hope Donald Trump campaigns harder than ever. I hope we campaign harder than ever, make calls, knock on doors, and fight the good fight. Now, today we have more developments regarding this assassination, which is the real news that we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on the assassination attempt of Donald Trump by the deep state just over a week or two ago. Gosh, time just flies. Because there's a major hearing today, and this withdrawal from this race of Joe Biden is something everybody knew was going to happen, and it's now monopolizing the conversation on major media outlets, whether print or on cable or satellite television. All the major networks are talking about this withdrawal. All the influencers are speculating about whether or not this was a soft coup, whether or not Joe Biden even withdrew. And now everyone's talking about whether or not he's going to resign from the presidency as well. But nobody is talking about the assassination anymore. And that's a shame, because that is the story, not only of the year, not only of the decade, but one of the stories, one of the major stories of the century. And the fact is that by virtue of the deep state attempting to take the life of former President Donald Trump, that should be the only variable necessary for him to win. It should be game over already. There should be no hope for any other candidate already. As soon as that bullet nicked him in the ear, this campaign should have been over. It should have been just assured and known and guaranteed that Donald Trump would be the United States president once again. But unfortunately, the way our media outlets work, the way clickbait works, the way social media works, we are seeing the mainstream corporate, political, private press successfully shift the conversation, successfully change the conversation away from the fact that the government attempted to take the life of President Trump to this new hot story of the withdrawal of Joe Biden, of the candidacy of Kamala Harris, of her outstanding leadership and rhetoric over the course of the last several years, of her amazing and astounding career, of her stunning bravery as a woman, as a black woman, as a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire, of her astounding performance against all odds, fighting against the glass ceiling, breaking through to the other side like Jim Morrison in some MK Ultra trip. But we cannot let them shift this conversation away from the fact that our own government tried to kill President Trump because they want to kill and subjugate all of us. More details on this on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, folks. I am Chase Geiser, your host this morning. Secret Service head Cheadle says agency totally responsible for security at Trump's Butler, Pennsylvania rally. It was nobody else's responsibility but Secret Service to keep Donald Trump safe at his recent rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, confirmed Kim Cheadle, current head of Secret Service. In an interview with CNN, Cheadle admitted that the agency she oversees was totally responsible for security at the rally, which saw a gunman fire at Trump from around 150 yards away, injuring his ear and several rally attendees, one of whom was killed. Quote, at that particular site, we divided up areas of responsibility, but the Secret Service is totally responsible for the design and implementation and the execution, good use of words, of the site, Cheadle confessed. Now, we saw reports from Dan Bongino last week. Obviously, he's former Secret Service. He would have good sources on the inside who he would not disclose, but he said an unimpeachable source. He told this to Don Jr. An unimpeachable source told him that there was supposed to be a post on the roof where the shooter allegedly was. That post wasn't there for whatever reason, and that Mayorkas told Cheadle that she had to cover up that fact if she expected or hoped to keep her job. And we've seen more and more bizarre developments. I want to play clip 26 here in a second. For example, the shooter flew a drone over the rally right before Trump took the stage. And other bizarre developments as well. Apparently, there was a stand down that was ordered. Apparently, they were ordered not to shoot. Apparently, they had their eyes on him for as long as 26 minutes or so, scoping him out before he fired the first shots. They knew he was there before Trump went on stage. They didn't say anything to Trump about it. Trump said that they didn't say anything to him about it. Bizarre developments. Let's run 26 and unpack it.
Hi, Ari. Good afternoon. A source familiar with the investigation tells me that, look, it took a single shot to kill the would-be assassin Thomas Crooks, and that shot came from a Secret Service counter sniper that the source says it was, he described the shot as a one in a million type of shot. The counter sniper could only see the top of the scope, his eye, and forehead because the lip of the AGR building that Crooks was on was obscuring that view. We're also told a local police sniper took a single shot as well, but missed. Remember, this building was about 150 yards away from where the former president was standing on that stage, and it had a clear line of sight to the former president. Federal law enforcement sources tell Fox that while Crooks snuck up on that roof, a Butler Township Emergency Services Unit sniper team was looking out of the windows of that same building, watching for any suspicious activity. So how did Crooks get on that roof? Federal law enforcement sources tell Fox that it was initially thought he brought a ladder. However, no ladder was found on site, and we're now told the more likely scenario is that Crooks hid his father's AR-15 near an AC unit, and then he climbed onto that AC unit to get up onto the roof of the AGR building. This, as the Wall Street Journal is now reporting, the shooter was able to fly a drone above the rally site earlier that day. The predetermined flight path, the journal reports, indicates that he flew the drone more than once to scope out the site. A federal law enforcement source tells Fox the Secret Service was not flying a drone over the rally that day. Senator Josh Hawley says multiple whistleblowers with direct knowledge have come forward saying the rally was being treated as a loose security event.
Apparently, law enforcement notified Secret Service about the shooter before the assassination attempt, so why wasn't Trump immediately evacuated? More details about the bungled security setup at Donald Trump's recent rally in Butler, Pennsylvania have emerged to suggest that Secret Service stood down and did nothing after being notified that there was an individual with a weapon perched atop the American Glass Research Facility just 150 yards away from where Trump was speaking. We've got Senator Ron Johnson sharing his preliminary findings in his investigation into the attempted assassination of President Trump. I'm just going to read these. He had a couple of bullet point items. One, Secret Service did not attend a security briefing provided to local special weapons and tactics, SWAT, and sniper teams the morning of July 13th, 2024. Two, local law enforcement notified command about Crooks prior to the shooting and received confirmation that Secret Service was aware of the notification. Secret Service was initially not going to send snipers to the rally, according to local law enforcement. So imagine if they were unable to neutralize this threat. And it seems to me that this was not something that should just be written off simply as incompetence. I know that Cheadle was obviously a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. I know that we've showed videos on this network, and there's been reporting that she was adamant about ramping up the number of females represented in the Secret Service, which is really antithetical to the nature of the most competent security possible. I mean, men and women are equal, but they're not congruent, right? They're different skills, different interests, different personality types, different strengths and weaknesses. It adds up to equal value. They're equal, but not congruent, not the same. And when it comes to security, it's just simply the case that you don't want to have a 5'4" stout woman protecting a 6'3" somewhat behemoth of a man. It just doesn't make any physical sense. I mean, imagine if he had collapsed, who would have carried him? Who would have had the strength to move him around? And so when you have diversity, equity, inclusion in place in any institution, it's going to manifest in, if not incompetence, total lack of trust. I mean, if I would have had to go into major heart surgery in the 90s and there was a black man operating on my heart, I wouldn't have had a second thought about it in the 90s. But now that I know that all of our major institutions are implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, whenever I see a black pilot or a black heart surgeon or a black brain surgeon or a female this or a female that, I wonder in the back of my mind if that person got the job because they're the best for the job or if they got the job because of their immutable characteristic. I mean, it's obvious that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire. It's obvious that that man who was stealing the luggage, the transgender man with the bizarre shaved head that looks like the alien from The Fifth Element, was a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. It's obvious that Secretary of Health is a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. These are people who are hired because of their immutable characteristics, not despite their immutable characteristics. Same with Karine Jean-Pierre. Oh my goodness, she's black and she's a lesbian. She'd be great! No. You have to hire the best person for the job. There's no doubt in my mind. It's 100% obvious that Jen Psaki, as abysmal and terrible as it was to watch her lie on behalf of the dementia in chief, was competent at her job, and she was replaced by a diversity hire totally incapable of performing the duties of the office of the Secretary of the Press. And in fact, I love the videos where Don Jr. and others have called for Alex Jones to be the press secretary. In fact, we should run that clip if I can find it on my clip sheet. There's just so many clips here. We have over 62 clips in the folder today. But the point is, diversity, equity, inclusion is a problem, but it is not sufficient of enough of a problem to explain what happened on July 13th. Keep in mind, J13 is everything that they said, the left said J6 was. This was a staged stand down, a coup. The Post wasn't there on the roof, was supposed to be there, and now they're covering it up. The reason no one has been fired from the Secret Service on any level, at any serious capacity, at all, whatsoever, is because the establishment, Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, and others understand that these positions are the leverage. This payroll is the leverage. If you want to keep everybody quiet, if you want to silence whistleblowers, then you can't fire them. Because once they're fired, they have nothing to lose. If you fire Cheadle, she'll come out and say what really happened. If you fire other leadership or members of Secret Service, they'll come out and say what really happened. So they've kept everyone on the payroll in order to cover up for the fact that this was an inside job. This was an intentional stand down with an MK Ultra shooter on the roof. I mean, in just the report that we just showed you, they said that there were people in the same building that the shooter was atop of. And I don't know what that roof was made out of. It looks like it might have been even aluminum or some sort of metal material. Have you ever heard anybody walk on a metal roof while you're in a building or crawl around on a metal roof while you're in a building? There is no way that there was anyone in that building that did not hear someone scooting around, walking around, moving around atop that roof. They knew he was there before Trump even took the stage. He was flying drones. There was notification. There were warnings about this, and they let it happen. This was a stand down. And I'm sorry, folks, but incompetence is not a good enough explanation for what happened. This was the enabling, the complicity of a shooter to take the life of the president of the United States. And it is the greatest story of the century. And we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by a president withdrawing from a race or any other stupid piece of news that we're going to hear until November 5th. This is the only story that matters. Everything else is a distraction. They tried to kill President Trump because they want to kill and subjugate us. And we have to focus on that incessantly until he retakes the White House in January.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available. Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
The American Journal with Chase Geyser, your compass to the nation's crossroads on InfoWars.
Way over yonder, across the street, there's a...
Pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole.
Power outages, they blame on the Russians, cyber attacks, they're going to go for broke. We are on the edge of just a nightmare situation. But if the governors and the legislatures and the people and the Republicans that are awake, that's about half of them in power, see this and address this as it really is, the globalists are done.
They're going to have a cyber attack. A cyber attack claiming Russia, working with Trump supporters, just took down the East Coast grid. I told you that 2 years ago, and then a year later, the FBI goes, we've got intel that the Russians with Trump supporters are going to cut the power. I'm in their mind, folks. I've got them. The minute you see Trump hit the ground, the false flags, the power outages, the cyber attacks.
I want to get back to the global computer outage, which is affecting folks across the world right now.
But this is a black eye moment for CrowdStrike, and I'd say for the cybersecurity sector. Now, the damage, look, it's going to be weeks, months, you know, potentially years in terms of understanding the damage. The big issue is the brand damage, because CrowdStrike today becomes a household name, but not in a good way.
According to your statement, it was a single content update that has managed to shut down air travel, credit card payment systems, banks, broadcasts, street lights, 911, emergency around the globe. Why is there not some kind of redundancy or some sort of backup? How is it that one single software bug can have such a profound and immediate impact?
Well, when you look at the complexity of cybersecurity, you're always trying to stay one step ahead of the adversaries. Excuse me. And just 1 second, please.
Oh, yeah, take a drink of water.
Yeah, sorry.
Sure.
When the FBI tapped CrowdStrike to provide their evidence, CrowdStrike refused.
Target these globalist criminals.
They're the type of crooks that would just take us going, oh, here, FBI, have this. Oh, they take that as weakness, probably put me in prison as a Russian agent. You're the agents of evil. You're the agents serving the globalists. You're the people out of control. Like Strzok and all the rest of these damn people look like demons. You're freaking nuts!
I still ask the FBI, where is the server? How come the FBI never got the server from the DNC? Where is the server? I want to see the server. Let's see what's on the server. So the server, they say, is held by a company whose primary ownership individual is from Ukraine.
But as the Gateway Pundit reports, Hillary Clinton's attorney representing the DNC filed claiming CrowdStrike is under attorney-client privilege and therefore does not have to provide CrowdStrike's evidence that Russia hacked the DNC, the same evidence the FBI relied on to determine that Russia hacked the DNC that was the basis for the Mueller special counsel. CrowdStrike sits at the heart of the Russian collusion Legion narrative hoax, just waiting to be investigated as yet another piece of the Democratic witch hunt. But what separates CrowdStrike from the Steele dossier, 2 months before the June report was issued, former President Barack Obama appointed Stephen Chbosky, General Counsel and Chief Risk Officer for CrowdStrike, to a Presidential Commission for Enhancing Cybersecurity, further demonstrating CrowdStrike's intermingling with powerful Democratic Party factions. Neither the FBI nor CrowdStrike responded to requests for comment on the nature of the services provided. As of yet, the only entity known to receive primary access to the DNC servers is CrowdStrike. An unnamed FBI official told reporters the FBI repeatedly stressed to DNC officials the necessity of obtaining direct access to servers and data, only to be rebuffed until well after the initial compromise had been mitigated. If the Republicans ever get their act together and counter against the socialist democratic infiltration of our political system and its unyielding genesis of impeachment, CrowdStrike would
it's
be the
sold
first
out for
place.
A while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review, or call toll-free, 888-253-3139.
To the American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning, filling in for the great Harrison Smith, who is taking a much deserved vacation. I will be on the air today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then this weekend I will be out of town for a funeral. But Harrison will be back next week. We've got great hosts, great guests lined up for you. And we've really just been unpacking all of the news about this withdrawal from the race, about RFK Jr.'s hypocrisy with his accusations that Vance is a CIA operative. You know what's funny? I watched that movie about J.D. Vance, Hillbilly Elegy. I don't know if anybody from the crew has seen it. It's in the top 10 on Netflix now. I believe the book was a number one bestseller. It's his memoir about growing up with a mother addicted to opioids. And it's almost, I would say it's like one or two notches better than a Lifetime movie. I don't even know if Lifetime is still around. But when I was growing up, Lifetime was a famous channel where it was always garbage made-for-TV movies. But somehow, if you were flipping through the channels and you came across a Lifetime movie and it wasn't a commercial break, you were glued to it no matter how bad it was. I mean, the drama was just so intense, so out of this world, usually based on a true story, that you just couldn't look away even if it was terrible actors. It was like C-list, D-list, E-list actors, kind of corny script. Usually it's a small business going under right before Christmas or an abusive father or drug problems or eating disorders. I mean, that was what Lifetime did. It was like the show This Is Us in all of its different forms and manifestations across this network. And I watched Hillbilly Elegy the other day with my wife. It was so funny. It's got Amy Adams in it and other notable actors. Produced by Ron Howard. Directed by Ron Howard. And it was pretty good. It was a little corny. It was obviously a memoir. It was, I don't want to use the term propaganda because of the negative connotation of the term propaganda, but it was obviously a I'm J.D. Vance and I'm awesome kind of memoir thing. He clearly wrote this book knowing that he was going to pursue political office. He went to Yale. He knew he wanted to run for office, wrote a memoir like they all do. And this movie was made basically to just get you to love J.D. Vance. And it worked. It was an inspiring movie. I recommend that you watch it if you want to learn more about J.D. Vance. I'm not saying that this was propaganda to try to undermine Vance by any means. It's something that if I was going to run for the Senate, I would write a book like this, and I would have a movie made like this if it was possible and use it to my advantage. But we have these accusations that J.D. Vance is a CIA plant, and I just doubt it. I know that years ago he said that he was never Trumper, but I attribute that to just being yum and dumb. I mean, I had my own doubts about Trump after his first term because of Operation Warp Speed and some comments he made about the Constitution that made me really uncomfortable. But I turned around and I'm more Trump now than I ever was. I believe that J.D. Vance is genuinely more Trump now than he ever was as well. And they're going to do everything they can. It's funny seeing some of these headlines about Kamala Harris and J.D. Vance negotiating the details of their vice presidential debate, because now that's not going to occur. We don't even really know who he's going to debate, but it makes sense that Donald Trump chose Vance because Vance is going to have the pull and the influence needed in the Rust Belt swing states to win the election. In watching this story of his background, taking it with a grain of salt, knowing that it was written by the subject, about the subject, I was really pleased to see that this is somebody who grew up dirt poor, rough around the edges, knew how to get in a fight, familiar with the opioid crisis, almost a troubled kid, stealing calculators from the calculator store so that he could do his math homework, getting to Yale, having to fly back from Yale or drive back from Yale to visit his mother who overdosed in the hospital, and then drive back the same night 10 hours in order to be in a very important interview for his career, all while struggling to pay his bills. I mean, it's so important that we have political leaders who are in touch with the American people, and we have a political class who has been so elitist, so exclusive for so long that it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is, I know he's a Yale guy, but he's not a Yale guy in the sense that so many other of our leaders have been propelled from these Ivy Leagues. He's not like a Zuckerberg type or an Elizabeth Warren type or a George Bush type or a Skull and Bones type or a Bohemian Grove type where he was always going to be an Ivy Leaguer and he was always going to be in the little club. I mean, he was truly an outsider even at Yale. And I know for me and others, when you hear about somebody going to Yale, it just immediately invokes this sense of separation, of exclusiveness, of impossible pipe dreams. I remember I was in an art class in high school, art 2. And it was one of my favorite classes because teacher was sort of a hippie. She was a little bit out there. And she put on cool music and we'd do our art projects and we'd work on them for weeks at a time and it was cathartic. It was in the morning, do pastels or whatever. We had to do icons and pastels. You could pick your favorite American icon and then there were these giant pastels that we would do. And I remember working on mine and the teacher walked around and asked where everybody was applying to college, where everybody wanted to go to college, just as we were working on our projects peacefully. And one of the girls who was sitting across from me, she was a year or two behind me in school, she said that she wanted to go to Harvard. And the teacher just says, you realize how impossible it is to get into Harvard, right? I mean, first of all, I'm sitting there and I'm like miffed that the teacher is saying this to a student, even though it's true. I'm like, hey, I thought teachers were supposed to encourage and support the dreams of students rather than crush them. And I'm witnessing this teacher crush this little girl's dreams right before us. You realize you have to be top of your class, right? You realize you have to get a 4.0, right? Nobody can get into that school, right? You're never going to go to Harvard. I'm just witnessing. And I wish I would have had the maturity. I was just a boy, but I wish I was man enough at the time to have said something to stand up for that girl. And It's that type of conversation, that type of experience, which has happened to thousands of children, thousands of middle-class people, lower-middle-class people all over the country. I went to a very small school in a very small town. I think there were 2,000 people that lived in the town I went to school in. There were 40 people, or excuse me, there were 80 people in my graduating class. That's how small this was. Everybody that I went to school with, that I graduated with, I had known since I was 7 years old. Our kindergarten, middle school, and high school were all Tri-Valley. All on the same plot, three buildings, same schools, all three all the way through. I knew everybody that I graduated with from the age of 5, 6, or 7 years old. I go back for the 4th of July now because I want to have the small town 4th of July experience, and the 4th of July is like a class reunion. It's all the same people in this small town going back to watch the septic tanks go by for the parade. I mean, this town is so small, they can muster a fire truck and a septic truck and a couple of other F-150s. And some tractors. It's a farm town. And that's about it. I mean, it's like the movie Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise. And so when you look at a J.D. Vance who's gone to Yale, it's very easy to have this knee-jerk gut reaction to think, oh, that's an elitist. Oh, that is so beyond me. But he is an example of this small-town, lower-middle-class person who just busted their butt hard enough to defy all odds, to get into the little club, despite the fact that the whole entire time he was at Yale, he didn't fit in. They knew that he wasn't right for them. He didn't know what silverware to start with when he was at the meals. He didn't know how to have conversation with these people who thought that everyone that he knew or grew up around was a redneck. He didn't know how to relate to these elitists with their law firms and their hedge fund manager fathers and their elitist CIA and political parents and their political families and backgrounds and influence and just total setup for success, because all he had come from was mud and wood and aluminum siding and opioids. And so having watched this movie, I was kind of thinking it was going to be just a BS thing. I do not believe that J.D. Vance is an establishment guy whatsoever. I think he is actually salt of the earth outsider. And the beauty of it is, with Trump, you have this political outsider who is from success, from an elite business private class, not a political sold out elite class, but from a background of affluence who understands the higher up elites. And then coupled with J.D. Vance, you have this person who understands the underbelly of America, the lower middle class, just backbone of America, of struggling people trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out how to raise a family, trying to stay off of drugs in their desperation with abusive parents and abusive backgrounds, and just the ultimate struggle of the American people. You have both sides attacking the political establishment from the outside, from the top and from the bottom. This is, I think, a perfect matchup, and I am very pleased, having watched this film, that J.D. Vance is a candidate. And this is going to play out in such unprecedented ways. It's impossible for anyone except perhaps Alex Jones to predict what's going to happen. But it is certain that we're going to see incredible strife, civil unrest, and conflict over the next 6 months. I'm worried about things like World War III. I'm worried about civil unrest regardless of the results of this election. I'm worried for Trump's life. I'm worried for Alex Jones's life. I'm worried for Tucker Carlson's life and others. And I know that the establishment is terrified. I know the CIA is terrified. I know the corporate media is terrified. They are dying and backed into a corner like a rabid dog, and they are chomping. They're literally lashing out, chomping, destroying anything that comes near them. And this is going to have ramifications on America that I am very concerned are going to be nearly impossible to resolve. I am worried that we are reaching a point in the history of the United States of America where there's no turning back. It was bizarre. I had a caller last night when I was hosting Sunday Night Live. It was a psychic, and I'm always reluctant about psychics. But most psychics I actually don't think are lying. They're just mistaken. But this one, something about him, it was shocking to me to hear him speak. And he said that Donald Trump was going to be the last president of the United States as we know it, and that Texas was going to play a major role in what was to come after the United States of America and the history of the world post-USA. And if Donald Trump can survive this election cycle, I think that he is our only hope to save the republic, to save the union. Because what we are experiencing right now is the assassination of JFK if it had failed. Imagine how the United States would be different today if JFK had just been nicked in the ear instead of blown to bits and killed. Imagine what he would have done to the FBI or to the Secret Service or to the CIA or to the deep state. I think he would have shattered them into 1,000 pieces and scattered them to the winds like he said he was going to do right before they killed him. And I think right now we have a Donald Trump before us who is activated, 100% fully activated. And that's why I'm concerned they're going to try to kill him again or unseat him or imprison him or whatever. All of the above. Because now they know that there is a major storm coming as a result of their failure to kill this man. And he's no fool. He knows. He knows who's behind this. He knows that the deep state is responsible for this. And he is going to come back with a vengeance. I mean, the left was criticizing Donald Trump for having a vindictive, vengeful campaign, saying that all he wanted was revenge. But revenge sometimes is the same as justice. Sometimes revenge and justice line up perfectly. And in this case, I am not off-put at all by the notion that Donald Trump is seeking revenge, because America itself is seeking revenge. As they should. After all they've done to us, we should want revenge against these people. After all they've done by way of inflation, everything becoming affordable to the point where we can't afford our homes, we can't afford our education, we can't afford our healthcare. It's all more expensive. Social Security has been beaten to the ground. It's going to be gone by the 2030s. You realize all the projections say it's going to be totally gone by the 2030s. What they've done to our children, I cannot think of a single thing that they have done for us. I have only the capacity to fathom, to manifest, to conceive of all of the failures after failures after failures. And it goes all the way back to World War II. They assassinate JFK afterwards, deep state establishment that was catalyzed during World War II. They force us into Vietnam. Over 60,000 casualties, over 60,000 killed, I believe, 68,000, something like that. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, in Vietnam, after forcing us to fight. Many of our parents and grandparents drafted for that war. Then they back us out with no accountability. Then they institute MKUltra experiments. They get caught doing it. There's zero accountability for that. And then we have hyperinflation under the Carter administration. We have Nixon staged, framed to withdraw from the race. We have the abandonment of the gold standard because of the overprinting of our government, resulting in the overinflation. Then we have the military industrial complex lying and hyping up the Cold War, creating an enemy of Russia that was totally unnecessary. And now we have the assassination attempt of Donald Trump again. And I've skipped a lot in between there, but I want to go to some of the remarks happening right now in the hearing with Cheadle. Let's go ahead and pull these up just for a few minutes for the audience to see.
Good morning, Chairman Comer, Ranking Member Raskin, and distinguished members of the committee. My name is Kimberly Cheadle, and I am the Director of the United States Secret Service.
For now.
I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today. The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump on July 13th is the most significant operational failure of the Secret Service in decades, and I am keeping him and his family in my thoughts. I would like to offer my sincerest condolences to the family of Corey Comparator, a former fire chief and a hero who was killed in this senseless shooting. I would also like to acknowledge those who were injured in Butler, David Dutch, and James Copenhagen, and I wish them a speedy recovery. I would be remiss if I did not also extend my condolences on the passing of your colleague, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Ms. Jackson Lee was always engaged in the oversight of the Secret Service, and her passing is a great loss to this body. The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency. We are fully cooperating with ongoing investigations. We must learn what happened, and I will move heaven and earth to ensure that an incident like July 13th does not happen again. Let me state unequivocally, nothing I have said should be interpreted to place blame for this failure on our federal, state, or local law enforcement partners who supported the Secret Service in Butler. We could not do our job without them. We rely on the relationships built over years of working together to secure events and conduct investigations. Our agents, officers, and support personnel understand that every day we are expected to sacrifice our lives to execute a no-fail mission. As witnessed on July 13th, our special agents shielded former President Trump with their own bodies on stage while shots were being fired. Selflessly willing to make the ultimate sacrifice without hesitation, I am proud beyond words of the actions taken by the former president's detail, the counter-sniper team who neutralized the gunman, and the tactical team who was prepared to act. I will be transparent as possible when I speak with you, understanding, though, at times that I may be limited in providing a thorough response in this open setting due to associated risks with sharing highly sensitive protective methodologies. I do not want to inadvertently provide you today with inaccurate information. Since January 1st, 2024, the Secret Service has successfully secured over 7,500 sites. Every protective advance comes with its own set of challenges and requires a customized mitigation strategy, including specific assets. Security plans are multi-layered, providing 360 degrees of protection. These layers include personnel, technical, and tactical assets, which are a force multiplier for our protective posture. During every advance, we attempt to strike a balance between enabling the protectee to be visible and our protective requirements to be secure. I know this because I have spent 29 years in this agency. I came up through the ranks. I've secured events for every president since President Clinton, supervised on Vice President Cheney's detail, led our training center, oversaw all of the investigations and protective visits in the state of Georgia, supervised on Vice President Biden's detail, and the agency's entire protective mission during the Trump administration. The comprehensive advance process involves collaborative planning between our Secret Service, the protectees' staff, local law enforcement partners, and the level of security provided for the former president increased well before the campaign and has been steadily increasing as threats evolve. The security plan included a full assessment of the Butler Farm showgrounds to identify security vulnerabilities and craft a security plan for the protectee, attendees, and the public. Immediately following the assassination attempt, I directed the activation of my crisis center. I assembled my executive team to begin surging more protective resources to the former president and to ensure the wellness of our people post-incident, all while securing an active crime scene. I immediately ordered a reevaluation of the Republican National Convention security plan, and I increased the security posture in the National Capital Region for all permanent protectees and sites. At the same time, I initiated a mission assurance investigation within our agency. I have instructed my team that all necessary resources will be dedicated to investigating these matters. We will not rest until we have explored every option, and we will leave no stone unturned. But I want to be clear. I am not waiting for these investigations to be completed prior to making changes. Over the past 2 weeks, we successfully led the planning and execution of the 75th NATO summit and the Republican National Convention. Over the next few months, we will implement security plans for the Democratic National Convention, the United Nations General Assembly, and have already begun planning and coordinating the 2025 inauguration. It is now more important than ever for the men and women of the Secret Service to remain resilient and to focus on what is necessary to carry out our critical mission. Our agency needs to be adequately resourced in order to serve our current mission requirements and anticipate future requirements. The Secret Service currently protects 30...
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. There's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet, DNA Force Plus, is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible antioxidants and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off. Or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body's Whole Support. These offers and so much more are only available at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
The American Journal, where Chase Geyser bridges the gap between America's past, present, and future. I just want to be the best.
Folks, we're back. We're going to go back to the hearing. As questions begin.
In our 5 minutes questions, and I will begin. Just for the record, the Secret Service has an annual budget of around $3.1 billion, and I believe around 8,000 employees. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, there were many security failures on the day of the attempted assassination and leading up to that day. Let's start with the building that the shooter used to shoot President Trump from. At any point Saturday, did the Secret Service have an agent on top of that roof?
Sir, I'm sure as you can imagine that we are just 9 days out from this incident, and there's still an ongoing investigation. And so I want to make sure that any information that we are providing to you is factual.
You can't, okay. Why did the Secret Service not, can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
Okay. Wasn't that building within the perimeter that should be secured? Do we agree with that?
The building was outside of the perimeter on the day of the visit. But again, that is one of the things that during the investigation we want to take a look at and determine whether or not other decisions should have been made.
One of the things that you said, I believe, in an interview, that there wasn't an agent on the roof because it was a slope roof, is that normal, and do you fear that that immediately creates an opportunity for future would-be assassins to look for a slanted roof? I mean, this is a huge question that every American has. Why wasn't a Secret Service agent on the roof? And there have been reports that agents were supposed to be on the roof, but it was hot that day and they didn't want to be on the roof. Can you answer any of those questions, Director?
So I appreciate you asking me that question, Chairman. I should have been more clear in my answer when I spoke about where we placed personnel in that interview. What I can tell you is that there was a plan in place to provide overwatch, and we are still looking into responsibilities and who was going to provide overwatch. But the Secret Service in general, not speaking specifically to this incident, when we are providing overwatch, whether that be through counter-snipers or other technology, prefer to have sterile rooftops.
Did the Secret Service use any drones for surveillance that day?
So again, I'm not going to get into specifics of that day in itself, but there are times during a security plan that the Secret Service does deploy an asset like a drone.
There were reports that the shooter used a drone just a few hours before the rally start time. Is that accurate?
I have heard those same reports, and again, am waiting for the final report.
Do you know, if you can't answer the question, that's your answer. But can you answer this? Do you know, I'm not asking yes or no, but do you know if the shooter used a drone before the shooting?
That information has been passed to us from the FBI.
How many Secret Service agents were assigned to President Trump on the day of the rally?
Again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the numbers of personnel that we had there, but we feel that there was a sufficient number of agents assigned.
There are reports that several agents assigned to the rally on July 13th were temporary agents, agents not normally assigned to President Trump. Is that accurate?
What I can tell you is that the agents that were assigned to former President Trump are Secret Service agents that provide close protection to him, and that was what was actual on that day.
How many temporary agents were there that day?
Quite frequently, sir, during campaign events, the Secret Service utilizes agents from HSI or the Department of Homeland Security.
You don't know how many?
Supplement,
you can't answer
our plan.
Had the investigators reconstructed the shooter's precise movements over the past days, weeks, and months?
So, again,
we need to have confidence that if the FBI is leading this investigation, that they're leading a credible investigation, because there's some of us sitting up here today that don't have a lot of confidence in the FBI. So I will repeat the question. Have the investigators reconstructed the shooter's precise moments over the past days, weeks, and months?
I understand your question, Chairman, and I share your concerns about wanting to make sure that we have factual information. The FBI is conducting a criminal investigation. The Secret Service is conducting an internal investigation. There are a number of OIG investigations, and there is the external investigation that the president
Last initiated. Question for me. Before July 13th, had the Trump detail requested additional resources?
What I can tell you is that for the event on July 13th, the details that were the assets that were requested for that day were given.
My time has expired. Chair now recognizes Ranking Member Raskin for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been reported that before former President Trump got up on the stage at around 6 p.m. on Saturday, July 13th, that the local police had identified and even photographed a man who was acting suspiciously. And this man, who turned out to be the gunman, had been flagged as a potential threat. Is that accurate?
What I can say is that the individual was identified as suspicious.
So he was known to be suspicious before former President Trump took the stage?
That is the information I have received.
Why was he allowed to take the stage with a suspicious person having been identified in the crowd?
So I appreciate the question, and I'd like to make 2 points. If the detail had been passed information that there was a threat, the detail would never have brought the former president out onto stage. That is what we do, and that is who we are. We are charged with protecting all of our protectees.
So you distinguish between someone who is suspicious and someone who's threatening, is that right?
We do. There are a number of times at protective events where suspicious people are identified, and those individuals have to be investigated and determined what is it that identifies that person as suspicious.
So did you deny a request for additional resources that had been made by the Trump campaign?
There were no assets denied for that event in Butler on the 13th.
I see. So you're saying there were requests made for additional assistance for other specific events rather than for the campaign as a whole. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding.
Well, you seem to say that there were not additional resources requested for that event. And forgive me for being unfamiliar with this. Is it requested event by event, or is it requested just in general for the campaign?
So if I can explain the advance process, when an event or a venue is identified by, in this case, campaign staff, then the campaign staff works together with Secret Service agents who go out and conduct an advance. Generally, that is a 5-day time period where those discussions are had about what the perimeter is going to look like, what the size of the event is, what the venue is. And then from there, there is a request made to mitigate potential risk and threat. And I'm saying that on that day, the requests that were pushed forward were granted.
So the Secret Service did not know that the gunman actually had a weapon before President Trump was allowed to get up on the stage?
To the best of our knowledge and the facts that we have at this point, that is correct.
So can you answer this question, which I think is on the mind of most Americans thinking about this? How can a 20-year-old with his father's AR-15 assault weapon climb onto a roof with a direct 150-yard line of sight to the speaker's podium without the Secret Service or local police stopping him?
So again, sir, I will say we are 9 days out from this event, and I would like to know those answers as well, which is why we are going through these investigations to be able to determine that fully.
Okay. It's been reported that the shooter was not carrying a driver's license or any form of identification. They had no idea who he was, but then he was quickly identified, I think within 30 minutes, by using the serial number on the AR-15 under a tracing system that is now controversial. Some people say we should get rid of it. Some people want to keep it. But is that right, that the serial number was the key information which led to the identification of the shooter?
That is my understanding, sir, yes.
Okay. If an American citizen were just to stop you and say, Director Xi only supports your work,
we're very public
about it, billions of dollars and thousands of employees, what went wrong? What would you say?
Again, knowing that we're 9 days out, I would say, as I have said from the very outset, I accept responsibility for this tragedy. We are going to look into how this happened, and we are going to take corrective action to ensure that it never happens again.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope you will act with vigor and focus and intensity, and it seems you understand the gravity and solemnity of this to the American people. Millions and millions of Americans don't feel safe with all the AR-15s out there. We thought at least the President of the United States or a former President of the United States would be safe, but now that's not even clear. Mr. Chairman, I yield back to you.
Gentleman yields back. Chair, now recognize the Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Mr. Jordan from Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, were you guessing or lying? The day after President Trump is shot, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said, quote, the assertion that a member of the former president's security team requested additional security resources that the U.S. Secret Service or the Department of Homeland Security rebuffed is absolutely false. The next day, Secretary Mayorkas said, that is an unequivocally false assertion. We had not received any request for additional security measures that were rebuffed. But 5 days later, the Washington Post said this, top officials repeatedly rejected requests from Donald Trump's security detail for more personnel. The next day, the New York Times said this. Mr. Guglielmi acknowledged that the Secret Service had turned down some requests for additional federal security assets for Mr. Trump's detail. So which is it? Because both statements can't be true. Were you guessing or lying when you said you didn't turn down requests from President Trump's detail?
Neither, sir, and I appreciate the question.
But what were you doing? Because those statements don't jive.
So what I can tell you is that for the event in Butler, there were no requests that were denied. As far as requests...
Well, maybe they got tired of asking. Maybe you turned them down so darn much they said, not worth asking. How many times did you turn them down ahead of that?
I think that it is important to distinguish between what some people may view as a denial... of an asset or a request.
Well, is Mr. Guglielmi your spokesperson? He said he acknowledged the Secret Service had turned down some requests. I'm asking how many?
A denial of a request does not equal a vulnerability.
Well, tell me what it is.
There are a number of ways that threats and risks can be mitigated with a number of different assets, whether that be through personnel, whether that be through technology, or resources.
Well, tell the committee which it was. They asked for additional help in some form or another. You told them no. How many times did you tell them no, and what did you tell them no to?
Again, I cannot speak to specific incidents, but I can tell you in general terms, the Secret Service is judicious with their resources based on...
What does some request mean? How many times? Some indicate request is plural. So more than once they asked for additional help and you turned them down. What did they ask for and how many times did you turn them down? Pretty basic questions.
So again, without having all of the details in front of me, sir, what I can tell you is that there are times...
You didn't get briefed on how many times you turned down the Trump detail when they asked for additional help?
I'm sorry.
You didn't get briefed on that before you came to this hearing knowing you were going to get asked that question?
What I can tell you is that in generic terms, when details make a request... There are times that there are alternate ways to cover off on that threat or that risk.
But that's not what he said. He said they were denied certain requests, some requests.
This is
your spokesperson, not me talking. This is the Secret Service talking. And what a change from absolutely false, unequivocally false to, oh, by the way, there were some times where we didn't give them what they wanted. That's a huge change in 5 days. And the fact that you can't answer how many times you did that, that's pretty darn frustrating, not just for me, but for the country.
I hear your frustration.
Let me ask you this. Were any of those requests denied to President Trump's detail after you knew about the Iranian threat?
What I can tell you, again, I don't know the specifics, is that there are times when we can fill a request. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a Secret Service asset or resource. We can fill that request with locally available assets.
You spoke to anyone at the White House since July 13th?
Yes, I have.
Who'd you talk to?
I have briefed the president and the vice president.
Talk to the first lady?
No, I have not.
Talk to the White House staff? Anyone in the White House communications?
No, I have not.
Have you talked to the counter sniper who took the shot that took out the bad guy?
Yes, I have.
And can you tell us about that conversation?
I would not want to reveal conversations that I've had with my employees.
But that's exactly the kind of information the American people want to know. American people who pay your salary.
I understand. This is an ongoing investigation. And I
Who's all doing the investigating at Secret Service? I know the Inspector General, but is there also an internal investigation in addition to the Inspector General?
We are conducting a mission assurance investigation internally, yes.
You know what it looks like, Director? It looks like you won't answer some pretty basic questions. It looks like you got a 9% raise and you cut corners when it came to protecting one of the most important individuals, most well-known individuals on the planet. A former president, likely the guy who's going to be the next president. It looks like you guys were cutting corners. That's what it looks like to me. Is that true?
I am here today because I want to answer questions, but I also want to be cautious.
You might want to, but you haven't answered. I don't think you've answered one question from the chairman, the ranking member, or me. Well, we got a lot of other people asking. We'll see if your record improves. But right now, you haven't answered, I don't think, any questions. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Chair now recognizes Ms. Norton from Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the summer of 1963, as a law student, I traveled to the South to work in the civil rights movement. When I arrived in Jackson, Mississippi, I was met by a civil rights activist who showed me around town and tried to convince me to work in Jackson that summer. I recall talking with him and his wife about the raw atmosphere in Jackson. Later that day, he took me to the bus station for my trip to my assignment. That night, he was assassinated outside his home. His name was Medgar Evers. I condemn the political violence. It is a threat to democracy. I want to discuss one of the roots of political violence, guns. For years, Republicans, including a member of this committee, have introduced legislation and amendments to repeal or block the District of Columbia gun violence protection laws, including its bans on assault weapons and large capacity magazines. The shooter at the Trump rally used the mass shooter's gun of choice, an assault weapon, specifically an AR-15-style rifle, and presumably a large-capacity magazine, which is defined in D.C. as a magazine that can hold more than 10 bullets. Under current D.C. law, D.C. does not recognize concealed carry permits issued by other jurisdictions, but it does issue concealed carry permits to both residents and non-residents. However, D.C. imposes a number of requirements on concealed carry applicants, including suitability, such as not having exhibited a propensity for violence or instability. Moreover, D.C. residents restricts where the guns can be carried, such as a political demonstration near the White House and Naval Observatory or near people under Secret Service protection, provided the permit holder has been given notice. This week, the House is expected to consider the fiscal year 2025 Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Bill. This Republican-drafted bill would allow an individual with a permit to carry a concealed handgun issued by a state or territory to carry a concealed handgun in D.C., regardless of that jurisdiction's permit requirements. A Republican has filed an amendment to that provision to allow such an individual to carry a magazine of any size with that handgun. In short, the pending bill and amendment would allow any person.
So obviously Ms. Norton here is just using this as an excuse to just pontificate endlessly and not ask any questions. This is typical DC swamp crap where you have these congressional hearings, you have these C-SPAN moments, and you just use it so you can have hot clips for your campaign. I don't understand why it is that there would be an assassination attempt on the former president, the leading candidate in a major political race, and you wouldn't use your time to ask questions of the person responsible for this assassination attempt being possible. Okay, so we're going to queue up the next questions asked by the next member of the committee right now.
And would also include the security footprint for the site, but it also would be based upon a threat assessment for the risk threats associated with Donald Trump and the crowd in attendance. Would it not include a threat assessment?
Yes, it would.
So that threat assessment, as we know, basically would have started with, there's a generalized threat against Donald Trump because he is a presidential candidate. Then it would have gone to, he's a former president, and he gets security coverage just as Bush, Clinton, Carter, Obama do. And then you also have the heightened political environment. Even for those, it's clear that the security footprint, that the threat assessment was insufficient, which permitted then a 20-year-old to actually enter with a weapon and shoot Donald Trump. But I want to ask you about two other aspects of the threat assessment. It is known and public that Iran is a threat risk for Donald Trump. They're a threat risk for John Bolton, former Secretary of State Pompeo, and Donald Trump, because they have indicated they want to assassinate them as a result of retaliation for the killing of Soleimani. That is both, for Iran, a generalized threat. They're targeting these individuals, but also most recently a specific threat to Donald Trump himself. Now, I want to enter into the record by UC.
Another war hawk trying to make it about Iran. It's not Iran. It's our own deep state that's the threat. It's our own government that's the greatest threat to national security. It's not Iran.
From CBS, all of which acknowledge.
Unbelievable. These people are so stupid.
This threat exists for Donald Trump from Iran, and that there are specific threats, most recently, that have been acknowledged. Director Cheadle, have you read the intelligence of the generalized threat to Donald Trump by Iran as a result of their desire to retaliate for the killing of Soleimani?
I have.
Have you read or been briefed about the intelligence of the specific recent threat to Donald Trump from Iran?
Yes, I have.
Director Ray, when we were getting our briefing, indicated that he thought the threat assessment should have included this threat from Iran. Is it your testimony today that the threat assessment, since you've read this intelligence, was sufficient to protect him from this threat from Iran?
My testimony today is that the information that we had at the time was known.
Was it sufficient? Director Cheadle, was it sufficient for the Iranian threat that you said you have read the intelligence briefings for?
That information was passed to...
Well, I'm not asking the bureaucratic issue of who did it get passed around to. Director Cheadle, was it sufficient for the specific and generalized threat to Donald Trump's life from Iran?
Yes, I do believe it was.
Director Cheadle, is an Iranian assassin more capable than a 20-year-old?
Sir, I think we've acknowledged that there was gaps and a failure that day.
I raised this issue with Director Ray, he was incensed. He was shocked that the threat assessment of Iran did not seem to be, as we and I discussed, baked in to your security footprint and your threat assessment. And he went on to say that the generalized threat that he has told the whole country that we are under from a potential terrorist threat. He has said we're under the highest threat level since 9/11, that the lights are flashing red. And he has specifically indicated that people have crossed the southern border.
So we've got Mr. Turner there, warmongering with Iran. Let me tell you something, folks. If Iran's going to assassinate anyone, it's going to be Bibi Netanyahu first. It's way easier. It's way closer in proximity. It's way more relevant and pertinent to their establishment there. They're not going to assassinate President Trump. They're just as likely to assassinate President Biden. It's these threats come all the time from these inbred oligarchs. The fact that our own side is making this about Iran and disregarding the fact that it was our own deep state that attempted to take the life of former President Donald Trump is infuriating to me. We've got Ms. Norton up there talking about gun violence. We've got other leaders up there talking about how everyone's afraid of AR-15s. We've got our own side saying that, what are you doing about the Iranian assassination attempt? Because they want to go to war with Iran. And only one or two people is even asking relevant questions whatsoever that lead to the obvious conclusion that this was a deep state attempt on President Donald Trump. That's all that matters. Everything else is a distraction. A guest on the other side, folks. Stay tuned.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives, oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss. It equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are. And that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. Infowars.com. I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Historically, government assassinations are often carried out with a patsy to take the fall and a professional or team of professionals to execute the target. This ensures success and gives the appearance that there was no conspiracy. It all gets blamed on a mentally disturbed lone gunman. But the alleged would-be Trump assassin was willing to go on a suicide mission. It was an easy shot, and he had at least 5 years of marksmanship training. The independent work of Asget Industries shows how our young suicide assassin could have been the lone gunman. But she is restricted to using the limited information we have gotten. According to the sound analysis of Mike Adams, there were at least three shooters.
I think round one is probably Crooks. Round two is Crooks. Round three is Crooks. I think these three rounds are Crooks. It's my guess. Rounds four and five are from the same distance as Crooks, but they are not Crooks. I think rounds four and five, right here. I think rounds four and five are from a rogue Secret Service team in the building that Crooks was on top of. So that's my guess. Round six is from medium range sniper. Round seven is long range sniper.
Several witnesses that day claimed that there was a second shooter in the water tower.
And I just screamed, "It's the sniper, it's the sniper," and he was firing down toward the water tower.
That's what we're hearing.
Fox News live streamed the following testimony, but omitted it from final edits.
At the fence where the other shooter was, there was one I heard in the water tower, there was one by the fence.
And still, obviously, initial reports.
NBC live streamed the following testimony of a woman who was in the front row.
He could see the sharpshooter on the behind Trump. He said the sharpshooter shot to the left. He killed the gentleman in the water tower here.
And omitted the following from the final edit.
Now they feel that there was two shooters on both sides. So they got the one on the tower on this side, but the one on the right side they never got. So that's why they wanted us to leave immediately, because they thought there's still a shooter out there somewhere. I'm glad that guy's no longer with us anymore in that tower. And I hope they get the other one too.
Images of the water tower show a shadow at the very top. Frame by frame analysis shows what could be described as muzzle flash or the reflection of a scope lens. Before any shots were fired, police were seen running towards the water tower.
Oh wow, where are they running to?
Multiple shooters makes more sense, but then how did they miss? Many are insisting that it was a staged event to inflame Trump's popularity.
We still don't know for sure whether Donald Trump was hit by a bullet, whether he was hit by glass fragments, whether he was hit by shrapnel. We don't have those details. We actually have no details from his physician, even though this man is still a Secret Service protected, you know, and presidential candidate. We knew almost nothing. Why? Why don't we know that much? We don't know why, for 9 full seconds, Donald Trump was allowed to stand back up during an active shooting, an active shooter situation, even though they, at that point, had said the shooter was down. How would have they know? How would they have known if there were more shooters or not? Nobody knew that there could have been 5 shooters for all they knew. Yet they allowed him to stand up in the middle of that, you know, crisis and pose for a photo and fist pump the air so he could get the iconic photo. And then they allowed him to stand up again outside of the SUV instead of just shoving him into the SUV. That seems really unusual. What is the actual injury to Donald Trump's ear that's under that bandage? Shouldn't we know that by now?
If it was fake, it was a flawless performance. And if it was authentic, it was not only sloppy, it was a millimeter away from chaos. Either way, Trump is now seen by many religious people as being ordained by God, and by others as being the Antichrist, who believers have been expecting to survive an assassination attempt.
It's been sold out for
reporting
a while.
For
it is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll free 888-253-3139.
The American Journal with Chase Geyser.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser. We are joined today by Eden Bieber, who is a professional information security and privacy expert who became an investigative journalist after exposing pharmaceutical contracts, vaccine dangers, and European energy market failures as some of his biggest scoops yet. You can follow Eden on X at EH_DEN or by Eden.substack.com. That's EHDEN.substack.com. Eden, it is an honor and a pleasure to be with you. Harrison Smith reached out to me this weekend and said I had to have you on about this CrowdStrike story in response to some of your recent postings. Alex Jones has been predicting for weeks that there's going to be a cyber attack. Obviously, it was very bizarre what happened this week with this CrowdStrike attack, for lack of a better term, and they're walking back and saying it was a technical issue. Can you just enlighten me as a layman of your just overall analysis of what the hell happened, man?
So, hi, Chase. So, my background is not pharmaceutical, even though I work for a big pharmaceutical company for a long time. I'm an information security person. I specialize in risk management of information security. And what we've seen this week, last week, was just incredible. First, the attempt on Trump, and then you have this insane scenario where a company which is well known and well respected professionally by a lot of people, suddenly create something that just couldn't make sense. And my journey was to try to understand when two extremely unlikely events happening one after another, you go, okay, could there be any relationship with them? So, in order to understand why did I raise a concern / alarm here, you need to understand that the way software. So first of all, what happened? We had this huge outage of Windows systems throughout the world. I saw one reporter says a billion computer systems. I don't know how much, but what it ended up is that the reason for that was that the company that caused it, CrowdStrike, has a software that has been installed in many, many organizations, and it's part of their security solution. We're not going to go into the technical terms, but the main idea of that device, their solution is that it's a software that runs on a computer or server. It could be a laptop, can be a server, it can be anything that is a Windows. And the way it operates is, while normal software is restricted, when you try to run a normal software, or when you run a normal software like a browser, it doesn't really have access to other applications. It doesn't really have access to different, the network card, et cetera, et cetera. It's isolated. And the reason for that, you want to be secure. When you have a security software, it runs in a more privileged mode, and it has a elevated right. So it has the ability to investigate and to see what applications are doing, sometimes look inside their memory area, sometimes look into the network. That's what it does. And what happened is that specific application got an update, and it crushed huge amount of systems. And the problem was that we are working, this is the domain, again, that I've been working for a long time. And when you have an event like that, you need to ask yourself, what are the chances that would happen? Since we work in information security, we need to manage risks. And that risk, that specific risk of that, of a software that's going to cause a crash. This would be one of the top risks that you would have for a company that manufacture security software. So there's a lot of steps that happens before a change would be sent to clients. In the past, this process was manual, meaning somebody wrote the code, he transferred the code or whatever change he did to a group of testers who did the test, then it went to quality assurance. And every time the steps they would go, provide a report, and then it would send out to the clients. And then the clients would run it in an isolated environment, check that everything's okay, and then run it. Here, in the modern way of things, how things are being done, it doesn't work like that, because and everything is automated. There's something called continuous. You have a CI/CD process, which means that you are developing things in a rapid way, and you are deploying them in a rapid way. Mm-hmm. And in parallel to that, you have what you call continuous security. So the idea is that if you wrote a code or change, you would have a platform in your organization that you submit it via the platform, go like, I want to submit a change. That change will automatically go, if you have the right to submit that change, that change, if it's a code, it would go through an automated process. Normally it would check the syntax of whatever you wrote, if there's any error. So you have an automated tools to check the syntax, the code that you wrote. Then that change would be compiled into something that needs to be acted, and then it would be tested. The testing would be done using and the testing on the quality assurance phase is a phase which is extremely automated. You run your tests versus a wide variety of your what's supposed to be your client systems,
right?
And you get a response from that. And if everything is okay, then it needs to be approved. And then then your clients will start to receive it, while you would being allowed the option to be opt out of it. So many clients would say, well, I don't want to run the latest update. I would wait for one update, the next update, while other people will survive it. Sometimes there's beta testers, sometimes some people who test it. What we had here is that we had a situation in which there was a change that was committed. For some reason, it managed to bypass in some mysterious way, bypass all tests, which doesn't make any sense. Then it was sent to everyone. And usually deployment of changes are usually done by region. There was not even a region change. It was just sent to everyone. And everybody who had a Windows system got crushed. Now, the chances of that happening when you have a change, if that not being caught, everybody can think, well, of course, there's bugs in software, and that makes sense. But because of the scale of the amount of machines that went down, and because of what was the result and how you have to be able to recover the system, it raised a lot of alarms. It's very hard to imagine that the quality that specific change would have not be caught in a quality assurance test. You run it via huge amount of scenario, via huge amounts of machines that's supposed to be representing it, and it didn't work, and it's crashed. It crashed what we called virtual machines, which Microsoft Cloud, one of the big Azure. Azure has had, the Microsoft Azure Cloud has a huge impact on it, because every virtual Windows desktop that runs on the Azure is running this code in it. And so it's very hard to imagine that they couldn't catch it before. And the problem is that what happened, and that's the thing that really was really shocking for me, the only way that you could have return your system into a normal state was to log into the system when in what we call safe mode, which is in that situation, all your security stack, all the stuff that you add as your system administrator would add to your computer in order to protect it, in order to monitor it, in order to make sure that that you don't do any changes to things, you don't run anything, that is gone at that point of time. So that gives, if you're an administrator, you have a right to do a lot of things at that point in time, and the chances of somebody catching you is very low. The other thing which really raised my alarm is that if for any reason the attack on Trump, the assassination attempt on Trump, was more than a single shooter, and that has to do with somebody in the government, the U.S. government, 85 to 90% of the U.S. government are running Windows servers. So if they were running anything, not computer program, but a program to assassinate Trump, and they would want to make it go away, this thing could have caused two things. First of all, if they would be running it only in the memory of the computer, since there are some ways to run things on the memory of the computer, this outage would have erased everything.
So this could have destroyed evidence around the assassination, exactly, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That would allow the people to remove evidence. Now, because it was such a huge outage, it also allows them to have, because everybody got hit by it. And if you have, let's say you have 1,000 systems, 999 of them are normal system. One system is the one that you are running the assassination attempt on Trump. The chances of, you don't raise any flags by accessing that specific system and erasing any traces from that system. So that creates really an environment where it's quite hard for me to accept the fact that this was just an incident. When two extremely unlikely events happen one after another, and because there's so much digital footprint that we leave everywhere, I cannot not think that this is connected. And then the next question is, why is it connected? How could it be connected?
So you're saying that not only was this attack just that, an intentional attack, but you're also saying that it seems like it's connected directly to the assassination attempt, and that one way that it could be connected is that by doing a massive broadstroke attack on all these systems, that sort of obfuscates the perception that this is for the sake of removing evidence from a specific targeted machine. If everybody gets hit, then it looks less suspicious than if a specific machine or device is attacked. Is that what you're saying, just so I can be clear?
Yes. Try to imagine that you are a three-letter agency and you have an operation that was involved in this attempt. Mm-hmm. Now, if you would, since we, the reason why I said it is because I think it's time sensitive. I think that there would be discussions. There would be an outside investigation. There would be a call, and I'm sure there's going to be some call to an outside investigation. We don't know yet what would be the quality of that, but we can imagine there's going to be an outside investigation. Now, if there's going to be an outside investigation, They would want to know, they would want to have access, they would bring, they would try to bring their investigators to try to see what's happened. You need to remove evidence before that. And if that is the case, you need to create a distraction that would allow you to say why you access those servers. Why, and if you have a machine. So for example, if there was an operation, you would have secure comm that would be done. Nobody's using WhatsApp or using anything like that. You're not going to use a very dedicated software that would be used in order to run that. And you would run them on specific servers and you run them for a period of time. And if you want to remove that, you had any evidence on that specific systems, this is a great opportunity to remove it. If it's not, it would allow an incredible incredible justification for people to do a change. The next thing that could also happen is that this would be a great opportunity for people to say, you know, we had a crash and we lost data. That's a typical, typical claim that you would have. And this could be a situation in which, data loss can be justified. In a normal environment, you say, well, there's no justification. And somebody might say, well, I did the data. I had a crash and I had to recover the system and the backup that I, mm-hmm. and I used the backup.
It establishes
which was a week
reasonable
ago.
Doubt. It establishes yeah. reasonable doubt of the deletion of evidence. So do you think this is tied at all? Because the first thing that came to mind as I was hearing you respond to the last comment that I made was the Austin Wealth Management story that they bet huge against the Donald Trump stocks the day before this assassination attempt. Then they walked it back and said it was a clerical error or a mistake in how they made this stock bet that they filed. Do you think this is connected perhaps to that? Because CrowdStrike's got a history of kind of Soros-backed Democratic pushes. We know that Austin Wealth Management is a Soros-backed, heavily invested wealth management fund. They bet against Donald Trump the day before he was assassinated, then walked it back. Do you think that's connected in any way?
It could be connected. I do think that if the assassination attempt on Trump was not a lone shooter, as we are being told it is by everybody in mainstream media and their uncles, if it's not a lone shooter and that was a plot of something that was planned in advance, and that specific company was somebody had an insider information and they were trying to hedge it against it to gain financial gains out of it. I think it makes sense to think that that could have also been a reason. The point is like this. We have, the last time we had an assassination attempt that was that close was what, 81 with Ronald Reagan, right? So we have 43 years since the last attempt that reached that stage. And since there's so many questions about what really happened, things doesn't make sense in terms of what you've been told that could have happened and what everybody tell, what you realize that there's too so many question marks with regards, as you just showed in a clip about the sound signature, about the fact that the Secret Service were not in places that were supposed to be, like the tower, like this roof. When you have a situation like that, I'm pretty sure that this is my view is that since CrowdStrike had a history of working very closely with three letter agencies, most likely the CIA, there is a very, very, and since CIA, we pretty much were known, had been involved in at least one assassination of one president in the US. We need to take into consideration that they needed to do a wipe up of information, and this specific activity that came from them could have been a great opportunity. Now, the thing that really bothered, because I publishing this thing was like, if publishing the Pfizer leak, publishing the Pfizer contracts was like shooting myself in the leg professionally, that was like shooting myself in the head. The amount of people that said that I'm some sort of a lunatic conspiracy theorist, is just huge. So the impact on me professionally is very high, but you just cannot, from my perspective, you cannot just avoid the question. if those two are connected, what are they actually trying to achieve? And the most obvious thing that you can say is that to hide information, that would be the most logical thing to do. They pushed it, by the way, to Microsoft. So we had an outage also in the Azure cloud. And so this was a huge hit for a lot of organization. It's the way that I see it is like one of those moments that you break the glass in case of emergency. This is a very rare. So if it was what I think it was one of those events that you use something that you keep for emergency in order to hide away facts. Because the implications of evidence being surfacing as a result of not being able to wipe up your system clearly and clean, and then when investigators would come, you would say there's nothing here. The implication is treason, and that's death by hanging or something like that, or shooting. I don't know what it is in the US. It depends on the country, but that's a death penalty. So I think it makes sense in terms of the justification from what to activate it. And again, I would repeat, there is In the information world, we really changed the way we deploy software from the way that it was done in the past, where we develop and deploy software. Everything is automated right now. So you have this, what we call a pipeline, you have a product and it just runs up like a production line, like an assembly line, but instead of assembling parts into it and testing it and whatever, it's been done automated and you run a lot of scripts, and all this thing has been running for a long time. This product is, I think, something like 11 years old. So it's a mature product. It's not a product that has just been developed yesterday.
Right.
All those things that happen just does not make any sense. And to have this being pushed the way that it was pushed and in that specific manner just to me indicates that it's like, if you would ask any program, anybody who writes software code goes like, there's no way that I can push into production something so fast that doesn't go through testing. And since it crushed even virtual machines, usually when you send something like that, you test it on real machines and images of machines that runs in a cloud. It was crushing even virtual machines. So the idea that
was obviously that was not beyond just negligence. I mean, it's very obvious that it was intentional. They would just propagate this across all systems without going through a test phase, even though the virtual machines share it. Now we've only got a couple of minutes left, Eden. Yes. So I want to ask you, can you just, for my sake and for the sake of the audience, share just a brief overview of what CrowdStrike is, little context around their history, just so we can give the audience a sense of who was behind this?
So CrowdStrike is a company that started in 2011, established by two people. One of them is an immigrant from Russia who moved to the U.S. at the age of 13, if I remember correctly. And CrowdStrike became very famous when the Hillary Clinton email server popped out, and it turned out that Hillary Clinton was having its own private email server in which she was sending messages from and to. When that thing was supposed to go into investigation, it didn't went to the FBI, it went to CrowdStrike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and if I remember correctly, CrowdStrike was located in Ukraine, out of all the places in the world. And the point is that if you would have normally, since because of the nature of the communication that was supposed to be on that server, which was supposed to be in terms of classification would be top secret plus, there is no way that you send it to a company that's supposed to be a private company unless it's a front page. It's just a cover up for an organization that worked for you as part of the government. And right. So I think they're very
tied. They've got a history of contracts with organizations and entities like the DNC. I mean, they seem to be favored by the left.
They seem to be favored by the deep state, I would describe it like that. Tomatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, potatoes. Yeah, I know. It's just like that. It's the same world, but we really are in this insane situation that companies that are the challenge that we have is that those are supposed to be the gatekeepers in terms of information security. Those organizations supposed to be the organizations that supposed to provide your companies the ability to handle information security risks.
Mm-hmm. But they're the ones that perpetuate the actual attacks, and then they're responsible for investigating their own attacks. It's like when the FBI commits a scandal or a crime and they conduct an internal investigation. If the CIA is involved in a scandal and they conduct an internal investigation, there's an inherent conflict of interest, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that you cannot really assign anybody you need to assign a truly independent organization to try a third party. And the challenge is that there's really rare. Like you cannot trust the Big Four, the consulting agency. You can't trust the government to check because they are in ties with this organization.
They're all compromised. Eden, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you. This is Eden Bieber. Make sure you guys follow him on X at @EH_DEN or follow him, eden.substack.com. Honor and a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for your expertise. Really fascinating, terrifying stuff, man. Oh.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational globalist deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now. And that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity-Fed Water Filtration System.
system for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
This is the American Journal, where Chase Geyser brings America's stories to the forefront.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. Wow, what an outstanding guest in the last segment. Eden Bieber. Make sure you follow him on X at EH_DEN or EHDEN.substack.com. Fascinating cybersecurity analysis of what happened last week with CrowdStrike and the cyber attacks. We're going to get that segment out as soon as possible on at InfoWars on X as well as on band.video. I think we're going to call it Evidence Soros-Backed Trump Assassination Destroyed by CrowdStrike Attack, whatever I gave Reese. I hadn't heard that angle, man, and he really made the case for it. Fascinating stuff. Now, before we had the guest, we got into the Cheadle, the Kim Cheadle hearing, which is happening right now. And like all hearings, it's incredibly enlightening and also not enlightening at all and incredibly boring. So we're not going to go back into it because I think we saw everything we needed to see in the first 20 minutes or so of that hearing. She is not going to answer any meaningful questions. Half of the committee is just trying to use this as an excuse to talk against gun violence and gun and proposed gun legislation. The other half is trying to get us involved in war with Iran. And the other third, I suppose, is actually asking honest questions. But I do want to give out the number, 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. We're only going to be able to get to a few calls because we just have 25 minutes or so left of the show this morning. But the sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. And as soon as the board starts to populate, I will start calling on people. And I do want to issue one correction as well. I referred to the Soros-backed company that was investing and betting against Donald Trump as Austin Wealth Management, but it was actually Austin Private Wealth, so excuse me on that. And apparently CrowdStrike is now based in Austin. But I want to, just for this segment, while we get calls and screen the calls, I want to talk to you about what we saw from this Kim Cheadle hearing this morning. I mean, she kept using the excuse that this event just occurred 9 days ago as the reason that she was unable to answer the most obvious questions, reluctant to even answer questions like whether or not the shooter had used a drone before the event, finally admitting that the FBI had given her that information, refusing to discuss what the perimeter was supposed to be, refusing to answer the question of how many Secret Service agents were on the ground, dodging questions about whether or not assets or resources were denied upon request by the Trump campaign from Secret Service, and even in preceding instances, failing to answer questions about the Iranian threat, which probably shouldn't have been posed because it's just a warmongering type rhetoric. And basically acting or playing dumb regarding all of the details around the shooter, saying that 9 days was the reason that, you know, we're still investigating. They knew everything within 24 hours. She wouldn't even answer a question as to the details of the conversation she had with a Secret Service agent responsible for taking out the target, the shooter. Absolutely unbelievable how obvious this is, that this is a total deep state cover-up of an assassination attempt on the former president, Donald Trump, the leading front runner in this race for the president of the United States for his second term, really his third term, but his second term. Just mind-boggling the audacity of these people to just lie and cover and lie and cover, and the total failure of accountability. And I'm glad that this hearing is happening because it makes it apparent to the American people that there's a cover-up going on here. But I am inclined to think that there is going to be zero accountability for these people unless Donald Trump himself is elected. We have reports here that Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle, a close friend of the Biden crime family, Jill's office recommended her for the position. I'm going to recommend the person for the position who's most likely to be responsible or complicit in the assassination of our political opponent. Sounds like a conflict of interest to me when you have recommendations for the security of your political opponent. You know, I can't imagine. Can you imagine if Bill Gates was responsible for recommending the security of InfoWars? Or if George Soros is responsible for determining who the head of security would be for InfoWars? Or any of these leftists, if they were responsible for determining who runs the security of InfoWars? I mean, that's basically what happened with the CRO when our own enemies are responsible for who's determining who's going to have power over the company, federal government. When the Department of Justice is calling them and recommending that we be shut down immediately because of a security risk. Similar stuff. I'm telling you guys, I'm really afraid for Alex. I'm really afraid for President Trump. But I am going to go to your calls. Let's go straight to Tim and Callie. Tim, what is on your mind this morning?
Things there, Chase. Good morning. Yeah, one of the, you were mentioning some points that Senator Johnson had made. One other thing he mentioned was that there was some guy in a gray suit that crawled up on the roof after they had already killed the shooter. And after they went up there through conversations, they ended up saying, hey, you got to send all your photos over here to this other text number. And they thought it was a Secret Service guy. And sure enough, the guy on the roof was. But the one that they wanted him to send the photos to was actually ATF. So why does an ATF guy need to have everyone send their photos down from the roof? Anyways, that's not why I called in. That's just a rabbit hole you can go chasing after. Why I called in is you mentioned that maybe they'll pick Mayor Pete.
Yep,
Pete Buttigieg to be part of this thing. And I thought, well, if that's true, and there's plenty of things been going on in what's his bailiwick that nobody even talks about. It's just so routine now. For instance, on Friday night, we had a train derailment in Ottawa, Kansas. And that was, there was another one in Big Lake, Minnesota, Saturday morning. Wow. And yet another one in Fredericksburg, Virginia, on Saturday night. And by the way, that one knocked down a wall that knocked down like four parking garages or some crazy crap like that. I mean, this is just insane, the kind of stuff. And then I saw another one where Southwest Airlines came within like 170 feet of touching down when it was trying to make an approach to one of these Florida airports and had to divert somewhere else because he just about, you know, got everyone clowned, not paying attention. And that's happened before recently, too, where, you know,
I've been on a plane where that's happened, where we've been about to land and the pilot pulls up because there's a plane in the way on the runway. It's terrible.
Anyways, you get the point. This guy's supposed to be in charge of all this stuff, and these things are happening, and because the news cycle is all caught on one thing, nobody even mentions this. So if anyone's going to drag him out there and say, here's our new guy, it's going to be Pete, it's like, okay, Pete, what are you doing about this, and this? Oh, I didn't know anyone knew.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, obviously, everybody on the left has been showing up kind of out of nowhere. We've seen Hillary on screen for the first time in basically years, a lot recently. She's doing a book tour. We saw Pete doing night shows on major networks in the last couple of weeks for the first time in forever. He's kind of disappeared up until this moment. Gavin Newsom showing up out of nowhere. Reports from the Obamas for the first time out of nowhere. There's obviously been an understanding among Democratic leaders that this is going to be a contested open convention. And I think a lot of the endorsements and the denying of the crown is just that. It's the initial refusal of the crown a few times before it's accepted. I think we're going to have a very, very competitive open convention. We'll see here. Maybe the entire Democratic Party will rally around Kamala Harris and just double down on a bad candidate. But I doubt it. Based on what we've seen from AOC and all the other evidence and the fact that Kamala Harris is one of the most unpopular people in the history of politics itself, I think that she is really going to have to run even harder against her own party than against the Trump campaign. I'm going to get some more calls on the other side of this break. Godzilla, stay on the line. I'm going to go to you, Jeff, and others that I see lined up as well. So please stay on the line. In the meantime, don't forget to visit InfoWarsStore.com. It is now more important ever that you support this network and keep us on the air. We have to prove ourselves in the next 30 to 90 days. So please buy something. Do not be the reason that we get shut down by these courts by not being profitable over the course of the next couple of months. We need to show that we're making money in order for the judge to allow us to move on from this nightmare that we've been under, this lawfare that we've been under. So please check out organic ashwagandha with black pepper at InfoWarsStore.com or check out Joint Relief Max. These InfoWars MD products are great products. We have an infinite supply of them. Please get them now. Not only are they an investment in your health and they actually work and the best thing you can get for yourself to stay healthy, but they keep InfoWars on the air in a time where free speech is needed to save humanity itself. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burton effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll free 888-253-3139. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide. A lot of listeners have complained in the last 2 years that our amazing high-quality coffee has not been available. And that's because the prices went up too high for the raw beans and the quality had gone down some. I turned down so many companies that wanted to work with us. But now we have brought back the coffee, and it's even better from a national supplier that's veteran-owned and veteran-operated. It's powered by the company Minuteman Coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best-tasting, best-smelling, strongest coffee that I have ever drank. It is game-changing. All you got to do is buy a bag of it and try it. I know you're going to be hooked, which will then fund your Operation A360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now for Escape the Prison Planet Light Roast. That's the strongest. The amazing Medium Roast Wake Up America. And finally, the best-tasting Dark Roast Tip of the Spear, now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your coffee now.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the remainder of the show this morning. We have 10 minutes and 21 seconds left before we go to break, followed by the great Alex Jones. Make sure you stay tuned. He is in studio today. He's been in studio actually for quite some time this morning, running around, very active, very excited to be on air today. So make sure you stay tuned. It is going to be a historic broadcast of the Alex Jones Show in just about 10 minutes or so. But in the meantime, we are going to go to your calls. Godzilla in Tokyo, Gertzera! What's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, how you doing? Yeah, I saw the thing with the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheater.
Yeah.
And, like, it seems to me like how she's spazzing out that she's clearly involved in there. You know, maybe I think she took some money, you know. Obviously, if you're going to be involved, you're going to take money for it, and they're threatening her life. She's, like, stonewalling and dodging questions like crazy.
Yes, she's acting like a defendant on the stand for a murder.
Yeah, like, is like she like in a hostage situation or something, you know? Like, she's fiddling with her pen and stuff and not answering any questions, you know? Absolutely bizarre that she has no information when you're literally in one of the most prestigious information gathering fields, like the Secret Service. You know, that's one of your main jobs. And she's dodging all these questions, and that in combination with the media involvement and them pushing for Iran is really painting a dark picture of some sort of giant group of people going after Trump, you know?
Like the deep state. I mean, there's an entire political establishment which is just determined to eradicate this person by any means necessary. And they've tried to go through all three lives. They tried to kill him with cancellation, didn't work. They tried to kill him with prosecution and imprisonment, didn't work. Now they're trying to kill him by actually trying to kill him. And I don't think it's gonna be the last time, but Godzilla, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go straight to Baker in California. Baker, what's on your mind? Baker, are you with us? I'm seeing a blue light. Don't you see a blue light? Are you on there? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yep, I hear you. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, so we have to remember that Trump was supposed to get his brains blown out on TV, okay? This hearing was never supposed to happen this way. So if Trump had died, all the same questions would still be raised, but then we would be in total chaos right now. That's what I think the plan was, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, that failed. And so now they're actually having to do this hearing. Heck, even if there was a hearing, if he got killed, the chaos that would still ensue would be able to distract it. Now, I love to see Cheadle squirm up there, but you know what? Shout out to Raskin, dude. He actually asked good questions, and I'm surprised.
He did. The only thing I didn't like was at the end he threw in a little zinger against AR-15s, but other than that, he asked pretty damn good questions, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I believe in redemption arcs, and, you know, so I watch conservative news a lot, and I noticed that a lot of their sponsors, like on Real America's Voice, you'll never get a mainstream, like, big food company or anything like that. Okay, but after the RNC, I saw a Wiener Schnitzel commercial that was, it said, like, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of lemonade. So isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So
liberty. Populism is finally becoming mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I don't care if people hated liberty. If they come on our side, then fine. Dude, I used to hate J.D. Vance. He called Trump America's Hitler. He called Trump supporters idiots. And I've been a Trump supporter since day one in California. And that was a time when it was dangerous, dude. It was literally dangerous to be a Trump supporter, dude. These people are psychos.
It's more dangerous now than ever, though, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's more acceptable and more dangerous at the same time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so, you know what, J.D. Vance? I'm with you, brother. You're saying all the good stuff, you know, and yeah, I used to hate him, dude. I used to call him I used to say the worst about him. But you
sure,
know,
I mean, when you're coming off as the number Trumper, you come off like a Dan Crenshaw or something. But the fact of the matter is, if you trust Donald Trump, then you should trust J.D. Vance, because Trump would not have selected somebody who he believed was going to betray him or loathed him to be VP, especially not this time after Mike Pence betrayed him the first round. So yeah, I'm with you, man. I totally like JD Vance. I support him. I forgive him for being a never Trumper. I think that he turned over a new leaf. I think he just needed to see politics play out a little bit more before he was able to make the right call. But yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Corn Pop in Maine. Corn Pop, what do you think about Hillary's reemergence?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, so I'm posting in a few things on X. I tagged you in a lot about counter-strike. Another thing, a commercial that Hillary Clinton was in about a year ago where it just so hints about her running again in a really crazy situation and how she was just prepared at a moment's notice. So it's pretty – once you watch it, you understand how it ties into right now. I think the next ticket is – I was one of those people that said it was going to be Big Mike, but I am now convinced that they are going to push Camel Toe aside and they are going to have Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as vice president. That's what they're going to try to do.
Oh, also, yeah, because there's a legal theory that even if a president has served two terms, they could technically be the vice president again. Is that right?
Yes, that's where I think it's going to go.
And that would
also
be wild.
Also, I shared a funny picture with you if you guys want to show it on screen. It's hilarious. Kamala Harris was out trying to earn some campaign funds last night. I have a giant banner that I had. It's a big old banner with her on it.
I saw that.
Kamala Harris.
I saw that. Kamala Harris giving blowjobs on the other side of the banner. $5,
$5,
right?
$5 first come.
Yeah,
first come,
I saw
first
that.
Serve, man. Stuck their way to the top, man. Hey, one thing real quick, Patriots, I just want to say this. Things are about to get really crazy.
Yes. Keep your head.
Out. Trust the process. I know that sounds crazy, but you know what? I know you guys ain't on the whole Q thing because some of the Q people are crazy, especially the ones that are trying to say that this assassination was staged. You're making the rest of us people look crazy. It was not staged. Trump's head almost did get blown off. But go look at the few posts, especially the one where it talks about a change of batter. I also tagged you guys in it last night. You know, it's right on point of what's going on. I mean, like what you guys say about Alex Jones, how many times can this man be right before you guys believe him? How many times can the Q board be right before we start having this talk again? Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, Corn Pop. Thank you so much for your call. Always an honor and a pleasure to speak to you. Let's go to Urban, Ohio. Herb, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering how many votes Biden's going to get, even though he's been taken off the ticket with early voting and all the made-up ballots already.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see if he gets a lot of votes, but it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. He went from more votes than any president in history to tied for the least votes of any presidential candidate in history, right?
Oh, jeez. That's crazy.
It's unbelievable, but, unbelievable stuff. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Kamala's actually going to be the candidate?
I don't think it is. I think it's going to be Hillary, like Alex is saying.
Yeah, either Hillary or Big Mike. Did you see that deep fake video of Big Mike? This is clip number 38. I don't know if you're watching or listening, but it's just a short 18-second clip. Let's go ahead and run 38, and then I'll keep talking to you on the other side, Herb.
If elected in 2024, what will you do first?
First of all, I would Will Smith half of Congress. I would walk through Congress like, whacka, 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 whacka. Make them reevaluate.
Herb, did you ever see that?
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but that's awesome, man. But, hey, there's a video going around on TikTok. I don't know whether it's real or not, but it's by a guy named Sophisticated Biker. He's showing Trump
there's
getting
no
in the
such
car,
thing.
And then it shows a police officer in fatigue come over and actually, like, point his rifle towards the car, and then the Secret Service waves him off.
Weird. Huh. Well, I'll have to look into that. I don't know if that's true or not, Herb. But hey, listen, man, I'm so glad you called. Great comments about the dead ballot scene, where they're going to go. We've only got 1 minute left, so I am going to plug one more time because it's so imperative that we stay on the air. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get any of the amazing products. I highly recommend Life Select storable food. It's got 25-year shelf life, and it's going to be something that you wish you had when World War III breaks out and the surface of the planet becomes a radiated apocalypse. But make sure that if you get the Life Select at InfoWarsStore.com, you also get the Alexa Pure water filter so you can prepare the storable food with clean water in the event that everything gets shut down, annihilated, apocalyptic, and dystopian. Please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now. I highly recommend Life Select Storable Food. I highly recommend the Alexa Pure Water Filter. Also, any of the InfoWars MD products, including the organic ashwagandha with black pepper for clarity and well-being, and the Joint Relief Max, which is an advanced combination of vitamins, extracts, and amino acids for natural joint health. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now and save us, save humanity.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Omega-3 fatty acids are needed for optimal strength, and they can only be obtained through diet. They can be found in grass-fed beef, which is why the ruling class is trying to ban it. And they can be found in fish, which are arguably the best source of omega-3s. But the problem today is finding fish without a high mercury content. Your best option is our Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential for both our neurological and cardiovascular systems, our brain and our heart. They improve mood, mental clarity, and immune function. Get your essential omega-3 fatty acids from the best sources available. Ultimate Fish Oil and Ultimate Krill Oil. Get some today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It's Monday, July 22nd, 2024.